Well, the Hearts are back, and to quote Craig Levein this week, I love it. My name is Jarvie, and I'm joined this week just by Paddy and Hammy. Together, we are a very broken club band. How are we doing, boys? So, just three musketeers.
The best three, I would say.
I'd agree.
Arguably so. Arguably so.
I've skimmed the fat off the top.
I'm saying that about Cameron.
He's not listening to this podcast anyway, let's be honest.
He's never listened to our podcast once. He's incredible. Wee Cameron ran the Milan Marathon yesterday, successfully finished and all that. And he sent us a picture a couple of hours ago. He's having lunch at the Red Garter. He sent a picture off it like sober and in daylight. But doesn't he look good?
Like sketchy. I mean, it was pretty sketchy.
It was.
It's also under scaffolding, if I remember rightly. I was pissed, so.
Aye, something like that. Aye. I was chewing the bouncer's ear off most of the night under the scaffolding. good times have been had. And Simon's working tonight. A rare miss for Simon. Business as usual for Cameron will be in here. The Hearts monitor. So last week we drew with Kilmarnock at home.
Yes, we did.
And the ratings were quite stable, and we've won a game in Paisley, which is lovely. What's your Hearts monitor from last week to now?
Well, I was a 10 last week. And I'm a 10 this week.
Of course.
10, as you say that, drinking out a Hearts mug. I think that's my Hearts mug, actually.
It is. I found it in your old flat. You left it there, mate. Not my fault.
That's true. Fair finders keepers. I think I was a 7.5 last week. I think I dropped into the sevens, and I'm going to stay at 7.5.
Oh, so you're the same as last week at 7.5. I can't remember, to be honest. I think I'd went back up to like an 8.5 or a 9 after the draw with Killy. And I'll go back to a 9 because it was nice to see us win without Shankland.
Aye, who fucking needs Shankland?
And Benny, fuck him. But we'll come on to that. No Cameron for which Australian football player he hates the most this week in Kangaroo Court.
Take a guess.
Have you got any strong feelings? Because you just got to see Cammy Devlin playing 90 minutes of football.
I don't think he played terribly. I don't remember him being bad anyway.
Honorary Australian of Lembikisa. Just give him a passport. And I thought the Aussies were all right.
Yeah. Atkinson was better than Dexter when he came on too.
Yeah.
Kai Rolls played really well.
We almost conceded a goal because of a big blundering Rolls mistake at one point.
Yeah, but is it a Hearts game if that's not happening?
Very true. Very true. Well, speaking of Devlin, first covering Benny. So there was quite a lot of questions last week about Benny's passing. And someone asked the question to Irvin Analysis on Twitter, who can, you know, kind of get all this data together and put something presentable out there. And he confirmed what we already knew, that Benny barely ever passes the ball forward. Like, at all. So I think that the point stands regarding we can do better without Benny. We can play more expansive football. And that's the narrative I'm going to continue with because he's definitely not going to be at half next season.
I think I get that. I completely understand it, but I'll always just go with the fact that he's not on the pitch to play the ball.
I know. I totally get it.
But yeah, if we're playing like we do in a Stephen Naismith team, that doesn't really fit with the way we play. So No. Fuck off.
But you'd think that it's either Matate or Denham's role going forward.
I would still like to see us, well, I was going to say, sign someone, bringing in Spittle and Danda. There's going to be a change.
Aye, there definitely will be.
Yeah, but we're still going to have to sign up. Hold on a minute. Anyway, Cammy Devlin came in for a rare start against St Mirren, and yeah, he done pretty good. He got 5 out of 8 ground jewels won. Really poor passing, though. Only 59% passes complete, which is terrible for a central midfielder. 24 out of 41 passes complete. So compare that to Benny against Kilmarnock. He had 6 out of 7 ground jewels won, which is typical of Benny. 86% of passes complete, 37 out of 43. However, what the data doesn't show you in this wee bit is how many of those passes went sideways, backward, were only 2 feet long. I would take a genuine guesstimate at about 35 out of 37 of those passes being sideways.
I don't know what it's about Devlin, right? But see, anytime he wins a tackle, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a joyous thing to watch. His problem is he can't shoot for toffee, and he seemingly always gets himself about three or four times a game into a position where he should be shooting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it mad to think about that Rosenberg game at home where Cammy Devlin scored a double?
Are those the only two goals he scored for Hearts? Because he honestly don't think he could hit a barn door.
I know. That was just one of those nights. But I came in and done fine. But Benny is a better player than Devlin. Like, now we've seen Benny come back into the team, get fit, get sharp. He is better than Cammy Devlin.
Aye.
What that doesn't necessarily mean Benny is the ceiling for that position.
No. I'd imagine someday Declan Rice or something like that would be the ceiling for that position.
Or Jude Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, that's a ceiling. Not Benny Bellingham. Sorry, that was that stuff about Benny. I couldn't remember, was it last week on the podcast, did we talk about, I'm sure we did, it was in the article about him saying he's tempted to stay after seeing the Spittle and...
You were raging.
I was raging. I couldn't remember if that was since last podcast or not. Always raging. That's that stuff. Apparently, Stephen Naismith has confirmed is sitting his UEFA Pro License course. I've read next month, like in May. Hopefully it's once the season's actually finished.
Aye.
Surely that means he will be our registered manager for our European Jollies next season.
Well, they're not going to get away with pulling the wool over UEFA's eyes again, but just changing it to Frankie McAvoy again for the first 4 weeks of the season. And then, it's Stephen Naismith.
Yeah, you'd have to effectively sack Naismith.
Yeah, exactly.
Rehire him as the assistant manager. So, yeah, if there's delays or whatever, then he's going to have to be, we're going to have to just take a fine. Because I'm sure, remember, we've done a bit of a deep dive in this at the start of the season, and I'm pretty sure we read, like, if you sit your course now, there's still, like, a waiting period before you've actually got your license and stuff.
Well, good, that's good. So we will be taking fines then. It's not like Hearts to have any delays with anything.
No, you can, you're all right if you're doing the course. If you're doing the course, you sort of get an exemption. Big Ange got it when he started at Celtic.
Oh, because he had the South.
Yeah.
Different qualification, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like I'm doing it, so let us off with it, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And UEFA have agreed, which is not like them.
Right, so that's good then.
This big fella went to St Mirren Stadium and saw Scottish football and was like, oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, that's that confirmed. Thank you, Hammy. Paddy, your favourite player, Michael McGovern, has returned from his loan spell at Livingston.
What a loan spell it was. Is that zero appearances in 0 minutes?
No, he played for them.
Did he?
He played like 2 or 3 times, eh? Hammy's
Well, was it an emergency loan? Like, because they had injuries or something.
I'd
I was
definitely
just...
seen him between the sticks against like Celtic or something, I'm pretty sure. Unless I had some.
He made, in the league, he made 3 appearances, conceding 8 goals. And a 4-1 defeat to Dundee, a 2-2 draw to Ross County, and a 3-1 defeat to Motherwell. He came on in the 33rd minute.
I seem to remember this. I'm getting subbed on in the game.
And he was on the bench 6 times. What a weird...
I don't want to go on a tangent here, but I can't wait until Livingston are relegated. Like, just get them out of the league.
It's great. It really is. Fuck them. You know what's always ate away at me is when we were getting demoted. There was a Livy podcaster and he sat playing the piano, singing Down, Aye. Hearts Are Going Down. And that is always, that's kept me up at night. And when I say that I've been looking for that video, I mean I've spent longer than I'd like to admit trying to find that video. I am 100% sure they've deleted it.
You still got in the group chat somewhere like years ago, but
need to continue the deep dive, but I'm sure they've deleted it because they know what's coming. Me on my daughter's little electric singing Livy Are Going Down. That was Michael McGovern. That was probably the most football he's played there at Livingston than he has since he was 20.
You might be right.
Well, his first job's a builder, so that's not so bad.
we were saying this, he's probably straight into the hotel.
He's a night manager.
Roy Keane absolutely buried Michael Stewart on a podcast.
And apparently phoned him and apologised.
Oh, really? I didn't hear
like
that.
Roy Keane.
He didn't seem very sympathetic at the time of recording. Like, absolutely buried Michael Stewart and offended the whole of Edinburgh in the process. He apparently said to Michael Stewart when they were, well, I guess when they were both young, but maybe Michael Stewart was a bit younger, that if he doesn't start improving, he'll end up playing for the pub team Monday. And then he laughed and said, and he did, he went on to play for Hibs. And you're laughing, going, ah, fucking quality. And Hearts. There's a new hate crime law in Scotland.
Oh, Benny, you're going to stir up the right again.
Just wanted to say, you know, it's what we've just said about Benny there. It's probably as far as we'll now go between now and the end of the season. I'd just like to thank you, Paddy, for your editing skills over these 4 seasons. I'm not sure if you can use the hate crime law retrospectively.
Let's hope not.
I wouldn't want to find out.
And it's just as well that this podcast is coming to an end.
I think you should burn all the records.
Delete the feed. Hammy Jamble's kickback must be shitting themselves.
It's going to be a bit of a barren place going forward, I think, sadly.
Kenneth Vargas was voted by Hearts fans as player of the month for March, which was well deserved. Best striker at the club. Shankland has been a bit off it.
We all know he's getting sold in the summer. Vargas is the best striker at the club.
It's good. I'm delighted we've got him on a permanent deal. Very good. Well deserved his award. On that note, Shankland missed the game at the weekend there with a bug, along with Benny. They must have got the same Tesco meal deal or something. So it was a nice wee taster there. I mean, obviously, if Shankland goes in the summer, he's going to be replaced by a decent striker, you'd hope. But it was good to see us play without Shankland in a way and kind of see what we're at. And it was crazy to see Tagala nowhere near it, considering he's our second choice striker, effectively.
Maybe he got the same bug.
I think that, you know, we mentioned it, I think maybe a few weeks ago, but Tagovailoa just not getting these chances. And with Shanklin being out, like your main striker, he was brought in as effectively the backup striker. Other than James Wilson, I think, well, he was also on the bench, the only other striker in the squad. He's not getting on. He's not starting when Shanklin's out. He's then not getting off the bench. Preferred, was it Scott Fraser came off the bench in front of him. It's really not a good sign. So yeah, I think that's just confirmed to me that he won't be featuring. And you remember, like, Kenneth Vargas, I know, Paddy, you said he was the best striker at the club. He's our best attacking player. I wouldn't call him a striker because his finishing is still atrocious, unless it's like a really hard attempt where he seems to score them all the time.
He's chipped in plenty. What was that, his 10th goal of the season?
Yeah.
He just see if he actually was able to finish, he'd have 30.
if he could score a one-on-one, he would be lethal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if again, you're looking at a starting lineup, we'll probably go on to it in the game. But yeah, Tagler, I think he's fucked.
Yeah, couldn't believe there was interest in him. That article about a month ago, at the very least, he surely goes out on loan.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, it's a Lonson.
Where careers go to die. it's weird. Well, it's not. It's shite.
He's showed absolutely nothing. Like, there's not one Hearts fan saying, like, "Boah, that's why is Tagovailoa not getting a game?"
Exactly. Yeah.
He's had these opportunities against Spartan and that. And if he can't eat it, then yeah.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
In a way. Like, that game, because we were playing like Alan Forrest and Vargas up front, that game would have really suited Tagawa. And even then, you know, so he's gone.
Yep.
People are also upset, as usual, the Hearts player said. They're also upset with our right-back position here. Even before the game, with Dexter Limbisika, he's been well off it after making a really good impact when he first joined the club. And Nathaniel Atkinson, which I would say is verging on harsh, because he came back from injury, went straight to the World Cup, and we're still to actually see him playing properly. Again, I think he'll start against Libby, but anyway. But the conversation was about it being that bad, about chucking Aidan Denham in at right-back / right-wing-back. Have you got any thoughts about that?
I've not seen him play at right back, so I wouldn't like to comment, but
not sure he ever has in his life.
That just sounds like ruining a young player. I don't want to see that at all. I think between Dexter and Nathaniel Atkinson, we can scrape something together. I think Atkinson is okay. I was just going to say, it's the end of the season, third wrapped up anyway, and then I completely forgot we've got a semi-final coming up, and I got a wee bit of sadness filled my heart about the right-back situation. Yeah, unless we have an actual youth right-back that we want to play, let's not be putting midfielders and right-backs to get ripped to shreds, confidence blown out. And
I mean, if there's a time to try it, then it would be at home to Livingston.
Put Benny there.
Oh, Christ, imagine his crosses into the box.
Nowhere near the box. You'd be playing with a flat back four.
It is mad how we are just fucked at that situation. But I mean, I still think there's like Sibbett could play there. Or even Forrest. Forrest looked all right at that sort of right wing back role. I know you then sort of need to play three at the back, which isn't great at times as well, but I would do all of that before putting Denham there.
Aye. My thing, if we did go to three at the back again, is Limbisca's much better as a wing back. So you just play Limbisca if we're going to do that, which I think we probably will against Rangers in a Scottish Cup semi final. So
I was just about to ask you then. So if we're playing three at the back, do you start Limbisica or do you start Atkinson?
I'd be Limbisica because you're not relying on him to defend as much as a right wing back as you are as a right back in a back four.
He'd be defending loads against Rangers.
We'd be on the front foot, Jarvey. Football.
Hammy.
I'd go the other way. I'd probably start Atkinson.
Aye. And if it's a back four, would that change your mind, Paddy?
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Limbic, like I said this last week, I think he's going to end up being a winger. He cannot defend. Going forward, he's good. He just can't defend.
Aye. You can't see him getting anywhere near that Wolves team.
No. Also, just on Rangers, drawing with Celtic's a bit tin pot.
I know.
Shots fired. I like it.
Semi-final season. Not worried at all. No, that was able. We'll come on to beating St Mirren. Don't start that yet. The B team have just made it 7 wins in a row against East Stirling. Bobby McLucky on the score sheet. And a James Wilson double. Going to have a quick look, Cammy. How many goals has James Wilson actually scored in the Lowland League this season? It must be fucking loads of goals.
I'm sure he was on, like, coming up to 30, was he not, recently? So
was that not Mackenzie Cook before he went to
Hamilton? Oh, yeah. I get my youth players mixed up.
But James Wilson, I feel like every time I look at a game, he scored at least two.
So in the Lowland League, he's got 24 appearances with 12 goals and 5 assists.
Right. It's like 16.
Yeah, well, he's only been in the starting 11 16 times. And he scored 12 goals.
That's a very decent return then. There you go. It's quality, like. I hope we get to see, like, that's third in the bag. We're going to beat Livingston. I'd like to see James Wilson or Bobby McLucky start against Livingston, along with Pollock, Tate, Denham, all in the team.
I don't know. Like, last time we rested the kids, you started 11 before a Scottish Cup game against Rangers, we ended up getting pumped in both of them. So
it's very true. Very true. I just would love to see Bobby McLucky play for the first team before this podcast ends.
He will play minutes before the end of the season.
I think he will. I think he will.
Well, Finlay Pollock.
I'm sure he'll get at least a minute. But I'm well off it with my bet with Cameron. But yeah, Bobby McLucky scored, James Wilson double. So we've only got 2 games left to play in the league, in the Lowland League. And we're pretty much locked in to finish second, which is a huge achievement for a bunch of
promotion.
But even if you won the league, you've got a playoff system. Then obviously we're not allowed to. But East Kilbride have got 4 games left to play. And all they need to get is 1 point out of the 4 games and they've won the league. So they'll then go into a playoff game against the winner of the Highland League. And the winner of that playoff game will play whoever finishes bottom of League 2.
Jesus Christ, what a fucking system to have in place for a league system. Jeez.
No, and that's East Kilbride that are owned by your man, Black Rooster. Chicken Mick, who's also the manager. With Si Ferry as his assistant manager, they're going to be in League 2 next season. Very good chance.
Christ.
But genuinely, finishing second with a team average age is something like 17.2 or 3, I think I read. Playing against men, fair play to Liam Fox. I think he's got a lot more. Well, he had 0 credit in the bank when he joined Hearts, and now he has credit in the bank, so fair play to him. And if he's using our B team as a platform to go and get a move to like a League 2 side next season, whatever, fair enough. We'll bring in the next man to the conveyor belt to look after the boys. Maybe Lee Wallace.
Could be. Andy Webster, he's part of the club at the moment.
He runs the academy. He's more of a operational level. Maybe Stephen Naismith.
Yeah.
That's them. And I, Craig Levine and Ryan McGowan's St Johnstone beat Hibs at Easter Road. And Craig Levine said post-match, he said, I love it when asked about winning there, which is great, Patter. He has had them on strings for about 30 years.
I agree.
Incredible. And with that win, Hibs are at great risk of missing out on the top six now.
Yes, massive risk. Wait.
could be Dundee or Motherwell. It's really tight. And that's the Hibs fans have went from, they've started to hate Nick Montgomery again just weeks after celebrating their historic 1-1 victory at Tynecastle. final bit of news. I've been absolutely wrapped up in conspiracy theories all week. Not because of Celtic Rangers, but because of the solar eclipse, because I'm mental. But I wanted to share a theory with you that made me laugh, and it ties in my heart. So I was reading someone, this massive post, saying maybe the Mayan prophecy of a rapture in 2012 did actually come true, and all the good people were taken from Earth, but they've just done something so we can't remember it. And I was thinking, well, that would explain why Hearts can't find any central midfielders who can score. Or another right back.
Makes you think.
Makes you think. Tin foil hat.
And you're allowed to do a podcast.
We are not good people, clearly. Right, no Simon's game because he's no here. So the St Mirren game. Hammy, there was no Shankland or Benny, as we've covered. What's the script of Neuenhoff? Any idea?
Neuenhoff, there was another article on Heart Standard where I pretty much just get all my Hearts information now.
Hashtag he, spawn, is it?
Exactly. He was just not quite fit enough. I get the impression from, I think they mentioned that he wasn't able to sprint, so he's close to coming back but not close enough. But I get the impression with him and Shanklin and probably Benny as well that they are just saving them for the Scottish Cup now. There's no point in risking it.
No,
and that makes sense. I'd rather they did that than play them and they miss the rest of the season.
I don't even think we should be playing Shanklin in the Scottish Cup. Vargas all the way.
Crazy with Shankland to think that there was a time where Hearts fans were saying Shankland has to get dropped, and we fucking did, and he got dropped, and we played Celtic, and then he came off the bench and scored a hat trick, and he just never stopped scoring goals. But the St Mirren game, no Shankland, Benny or Neuenhoff. But Hammy, what were the changes from the Killie game going into this one?
So the changes were just no Shanklin, no Benny, and Rose came in, and so did Devlin, who we touched on earlier. So it was a big Australia love fest this weekend for Hearts, which was why Cameron's not here. He literally ran away. They were the only two changes. We did change formation a little bit because with Rose coming in, we then had three at the back with Rose, Kent and Kingsley as your centre-backs. Cochran and Limbikisa, who we've talked about as well. Midfield was different. Well, sorry, with Devlin coming in, but Tate and Grant were there again, and your two foot forwards this game were Forrest and Vargas, who sort of, I mean, I was half watching it, half looking after the Bairn, but it looked like they were sort of interchanging a bit, doing that whole dropping in and going wide and a bit of a free roll for the forwards, really. I don't think it worked very well, in my opinion, but that's sort of what happens when you don't play with a striker, essentially. You're going to have a bit of a gap up there. You're not much of a focal point. And with our midfield, you talked about Devlin with his passing rate, and it just seemed to be the midfield had that issue all day. I don't know if that was maybe the way that St Mirren set up well, Fucking, I don't know what it is, but that Gogic always seems to have a great game against us, I feel.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I want to sign him, and I know it's a terrible idea. But he seems to play really well against Hearts, so...
He's a big imposing character as well. Like, I think he stands out, you know what I mean?
He's a big bald bastard, let's be honest.
Right, remember the new law now, that's a bit borderline.
But we probably touched on it again. Looking at the bench, I think that was probably our strongest team. Maybe other than Barry Mackay, but I know he's still coming back from injury, so yeah, we had
our strongest team of available players, you mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking, looking at the team, I saw, well, first of all, how funny is it how unphysical that Hearts side is?
Yeah.
The average height must be about 5'8".
Yep.
And like 8 stone soaking wet. Like, it was such a lightweight team. Other than Frankie Kent, like, because Kai Rose isn't physical, it was literally just a team of wee guys, really.
Yeah.
And it's such a young side as well, when you think about, you know, because even guys like Dexter Vargas are young. You've got Tate in there. Even Alex Cochran's still like 23. It was a very young side.
It would be Kingsley or Clark would be the oldest, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frankie Kent's like 27, 28 or something.
Yes.
But other than that, I think everyone else would be like 23 and under.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Kingsley's a lot younger than us.
How old is he?
He's 29.
Jeez.
Still in his 20s, bloody hell.
Xander Clark is also younger than us. He's 31, so he's probably the youngest. They're at 31. So that whole team younger than us. Oh, man.
Here we go.
Well, that's it. Alan Forrest, do me something. No, he's 27. Yes. Aye, well.
Aye, other than that, what, like Tate, Vargas, Dexter, Cochran. How old's Rolls? He's 24 or something.
Yeah, he's not old.
Yeah, we give him a 5-year deal, and he's 25.
Sorry,
Cochran.
22, I would say Cochran, no.
23, I think.
Alex Cochran is 23.
Yeah. This is just the age game podcast.
Yeah. This is Simon's new game.
That is actually quite a good point, though. So we only have one player over 30 in that team. That's in a way, that's sort of that is a good thing. And we won, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good squad harmony, you know, for a bit of lack of experience to play in a tricky place to go, you know.
Right.
Going into the game, first half an hour, very, very scrappy stuff. There's literally like nothing to report about.
It was windy, that's the only thing you can say.
Very, very windy. cross field wind. And it was very clear that we were playing a long ball game, effectively just trying to get the ball over the top to Vargas and Forrest, who, like Cammy says, interchanging all over the joint, and trying to build up play from there, which wasn't really working that much, especially in the first half. The penalty, very, very soft hand ball, Hammy. Tell me about this one.
I do think it's soft, but I would caveat that way in sort of today's football. It is a penalty. It was a ball into the box. It was a bit scrappy. Vargas takes it. Gets a great effort off from, on the thing in his left foot, like a half volley. And the defender comes flying in. Again, one of those ones where you sort of look at it and go, you know, it's pretty rough. Where's he meant to put his arm? But I guess, objectively looking at it, his arm's away from his body, it's up, and it's stopped a likely shot on target. So, by the book, I guess it is a penalty. Again, a bit harsh, but, you know, fuck it, we'll take it.
Yeah, fuck them. Not harsh at all. And that's what Mr. fucking 50p Jägerbombs Paisley over here going, it's a harsh penalty.
50p Jägerbombs.
Not harsh at all. Penalty all day long. This is a Hearts podcast. We can be biased.
Aye, fuck them. Should have been two penalties, if anything, actually.
Exactly.
Fuck
If it, that's it in Scotland. Like, if the ball hits your hand, arm in the box, it's a penalty.
But yeah, it was up and in what would be described as an unnatural position, is why it was given.
Yeah. Right. After that.
Also, sorry, Jarvi, I forgot. It's also because Hearts pay the SFA. Yeah,
in our back pocket. Back pocket joke.
That's what the foundation of Hearts is. It's just the front.
One of our direct counter attacks, one of these long balls, worked eventually. Gorgie Grant finding Vargas between him and Devlin, where we 1-2 managed a shot away on goal, but Vargas ended up putting it well wide, which is no surprise. Vargas went close, kind of again. A shot from outside the box, like he does everything else really well. Like, but that one, he dribbled past like several players. It's just no there. Then we almost conceded from a Rolls total fuck up. They had a big brain fart moment. They just like the Cimarron striker just shot the ball as it rolls. He just managed to shoot. Clark had to get down and make a good save. The second goal, really bizarre, on the 62nd minute. Hammy, tell me your story of this one.
Again, I think we had the wind that half, so it was a good corner in from Cochran, proper right on top of everybody, including the keeper. Keeper flaps it for the effort, and then Alan Forrest does his best job to not get the ball in the net. He does it back out the way. I don't think he really even thinks it's going to come to him, because it's like bread and butter for a keeper to come and get. It's in the 6-yard box, and like I said, he doesn't move, but I don't know, there might have been a Hearts player on him. Is there something coming out? It hits Forrest's head, and then I think they gave it as an own goal, didn't they? Because it came off one of the defenders. I think Vargas tries to sort of toe poke it in at the end, but it must have already been in. But it was just a weird goal all round. But the corner is where it comes from, because like I said, it was such thrown in with such venom and pace right on top of everybody that it just caught everyone out, including Forrest.
Yeah. Bizarre. For the header to go the opposite way of goals from 3 yards out. It's mental. And I saw like the app I use, this gave it as an assist from Alex Cochran, which I feel is justified. But I did see the the fantasy football app, and initially anyway, gave it as an Alan Forrest assist.
Right.
Which is funny to think, like he's suddenly the ball's bounced off his heat the wrong way. He's ended up there. So.
Ah, fair play.
Mental goal. The Cinnamon goal. Dexter Lembasika. What you doing?
See, right. I've watched it back a few times because I do want to sort of give him a bit of backing up. He needs to be so much stronger there, though. But what I would say is I feel like Cochran could have done a bit more. I think Cochran's running onto that ball is a lot easier for him to challenge it than Dexter with his sort of stand and start. That's probably the best and nicest way I can be about it.
I would also say, Amy, the wind has maybe just changed where Dexter is expecting it to go for the header.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
He does need to be stronger, though.
Oh, aye.
Yeah, I think it's an unfortunate mixture of the wind, and he definitely needs to be stronger.
It's totally off balance and bodied.
Not read it right at all.
No. It's a shocker. And then when he's running after him, Aidan Denham actually catches up with play from like 5 feet further back. I had no idea Denham was that fast.
Yeah. That's why he can get him play the right back.
I did think while they were running next to one another, if it was like, if Denham makes this challenge, he's going to end up at right back.
From that bit of their run, he ran from his own half, and it is, again, both of them, Dexter and Denham, annoyed me a wee bit, because I was like, surely somebody could have put a wee foot in there, but also to take the light off Dexter a bit. And you know, I think Xander should have came out a bit quicker.
Oh, he was just kind of rooted there, wasn't he?
Ah,
I think
you
he was
know.
maybe expecting them to get a foot in.
Well, yeah, that's sort of our next point was like maybe he's staying back because he thinks the defender's getting them. I guess it's easier for me to look at that with hindsight and say, well, I should have came out. But at the time, he's probably going, oh, look at Denham. He's fucking fast as fuck, boy. He'll get
He can get right
him.
back.
I think, again, a bit of comedy, but as Dexter obviously takes the main brunt, but
Yeah.
I did actually feel a wee bit sorry for him.
You know what really reminded me of Hammy was the Obika goal in the famous demotion game.
Don't remember
If you know, you know. We'll leave it like that.
that.
And you could see Denham, like there is a point, I think, by the time the I can't remember the boy that scored his name, but by the time he's in the box, Denham might be able to make a challenge. But I think he's weighed it up and said, well, if I end up with a red card, like I think we're better to concede than go down to 10 men, which I want to say is clever from the young man. Don't know if that was intentional or not, if that really went through his head, but that's what happened. And that was more clever play. So
Yeah.
that was fine. Cammy Devlin, you greedy, greedy boy.
Oh, Jesus.
Lovely tackle on Big Gogic. Snapping, sliding tackle. Then he was suddenly running through a one-on-one. They had all he had to do was just lay it off to George Grant for an open goal. But he never, his eyes never even went, never looked left, not even a fucking millimeter.
Aye, that was
Just
bad.
going for Gloria.
Yeah, and it's such a powder puff attempt he has as well. Like it's not even, sometimes you go, you're a greedy bastard, but you got a bit unlucky. And this one, it was like, you're a greedy bastard and you done fuck all. Like, just straight at the keeper coming out.
Yep. No pace, straight at the keeper, rubbish. What can you do with the boy? What can you do? The St Mirren had a big penalty shout. I was shouting myself at this point, and I was ready to be fuming at Devlin for not like setting up Grant to make it 3-1. Because when I went to VAR, thinking, fucking hell, they're going to give this as a penalty. And then they asked the ref to come and have a look, thinking, fucking hell, this is going to be a penalty. But no, Tammy, common sense prevailed for once, didn't it?
Yeah, I would say I'm 90% sure it's not a penalty. The 10% I'm not sure is because they only had one angle. Like it's just absolutely pitiful. But I from that you can't change the decision. It doesn't look like he gets touched. Or if anything, it's you very much just are coming together, I guess. But yeah, I don't think there's anything in it at all. And I'm glad he stuck with his original decision. But I think that shows that if there's not enough evidence to overturn it, then great. I don't know why he got sent to in the first place, to be honest with you. But
No,
I wasn't worried at all. When you've got the SFA in your back pocket,
it
they're not gonna give a penalty like that.
Oh, that's also why Denham shouldn't be at right back because he got fucking ripped for arse paper in the corner as well. So
He did, right. Yeah, blatant dive. He never got booked for diving, but did he?
no.
Why
No.
not? That's what pisses me off in
But
these scenarios.
because I'm not sure, there's the weird rule you can't give a yellow card looking at VAR. I don't know if that would
Really, for
then count as
simulation?
retrospective action to book somebody after diving. It would have to be a red card incident. There's no yellow card incidents with VAR.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Never realized that. Interesting. I feel like they should implement that for simulation, but
Nah,
you know
send
what I
them
mean?
off.
If they, that would soon get it out the game, Paddy, if it was a straight
Aye.
red for simulation in the box. Why not? I wouldn't be surprised if that something like that happens one day. But it seems mad that you can see in black and white. He's dived. He's just tried to mug you off, ref. That
Aye.
you can't book him for that. You know what I mean?
Aye.
But yeah, so we got away with that one. And then Stephen Naismith just took the fucking piss the last 10 minutes. He brought Scott Fraser on as a false nine.
Goodbye, Tagua.
Aye.
Honestly, Scott Fraser is up there with sort of like Elliot Freer in terms of footballing ability.
Cast an ear.
Like, just none.
Oh, I thought he was in his 30s, not 29.
No. He's no staying at Hearts next season, eh?
No.
He'll start a game or two post split, but all it'll take is like a half decent game, and then it'll be, we could do a job. There'll be a Fred on kickback.
Right.
Sorry, that was a big game for giving the squad and fans a bit of a boost, I guess, going into semi final season. Ticket sales, I'd imagine that sold another 100 tickets for the semi. I should say on that, Hammy, what's the latest on the semi tickets? I sent something I found the other day. Looked pretty good.
I think, was it Saturday? I think there was an update saying 15,000 had been sold. I don't think there's been a lot more sold since then.
What's our limit again? 22 or something?
21, I think. Yeah, so the middle sections haven't been put on sale yet, which I can't help feels a bit, you know, they've done that on purpose so that it looks even more tin pot. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if they'd done it the side closest to segregation, it would look a bit better.
Surely that was a club this, or maybe not. Yeah. At least if we do that, we can put a big Hearts banner on it. Like, can, seriously.
Yeah. We've got some big flags out there, and I'm sure we can fill. But yeah, I think it's annoying that we've only sold so many. You know, we can sit here and boast about having X amount on a waiting list for season tickets, and, you know, the cup final, I'm sure, will sell instantly. But these games like these, that it does annoy me a bit when we can't shift it, especially because Hearts, the hierarchy, have put so much effort into getting us this 50-50 split that we always moan about and we always want, to then, you know, only shift 15,000-16,000 is a bit. It's a bit shit.
So what would we normally get?
Our region, though. Like, I think today I read that something like 100,000 Ranger season ticket holders aren't able to go to the game.
Well, I swear, see, through my work, I'm not kidding you, I don't think there's anyone in my work who's not a Rangers fan. And every single one of them has a season ticket. How many season ticket holders have Rangers got? I've never met a Rangers fan that isn't a season ticket holder. What do we normally get at Hampden? 17?
17, 18, is it not?
I think the last semi-final was about that, yeah.
And we almost sold, I think there was like somewhere between 500 and 1,000 unsold tickets. And it's going to be that again.
Sort of worries me is that the SFA in all their glory will say, when it comes to the final, when we're in it, definitely, they'll go, well, no, you're not getting 50-50 split now. You're only going to get 17,000 or whatever you sell at semi-final.
I think against, I don't think we'd sell many more tickets against Celtic for the final.
We'll be playing Aberdeen, so we'll get like 25,000.
I'd like to think we would, because it's a final and it does bring it to day trippers. But yeah, when it comes down to is people don't think we'll win, which is shocking.
Yeah, that is. But people think there's trouble, and it's because of where Hampden is. But
yeah,
you know, if this was like a big thing for the club here, like you can change the narrative at Hampden for years to come here. Like, make the fucking effort, eh? Go and look at if it's getting to Hampden. There's so many bus options to get there. You know what I mean? You didn't have to get pished so your bladder's not full on the bus. You know what I mean? If it's that. If you've got a weak bladder, you know, there's ways to get there.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. What can you do?
We'll be there.
It's frustrating. Like, remember the Gretna final? Gretna had one strip in Hampden, and I think we sold out our section. Like, we pretty much sold out a full Hampden stadium.
Right, there was fucking loads of folk there.
That's what I mean. We must have had over 30,000 Hearts fans against Gretna.
Yeah, and I think it did.
It's honestly like the final I've been to that has given me the most sort of like of a heart attack. Was that Gretna final?
Oh, I know. Jesus. So that's very frustrating. No. Third, are you comfortable now saying third is in the bag?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if and when we beat Livingston at Tynecastle, it's got to the stage now where if Kilmarnock get beat at the weekend, I think we're mathematically third. What it's like, we need one more point, like it's that mathematically close now.
Yeah, I think it would be one more
That's...
point.
Yeah, no, we're 11 points. So if we win, which I'm sure we should,
we'd be 14 ahead if Killy lost with five to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need a point from the last five games.
Mm-hmm. So it's done. It's done. If we don't finish third, Naismith out.
Hi.
So that's fine. One more game till the semi. So things are quite stable, Hammy. But how are the good folk off Jambles Kickback dealing with life currently?
Back away and don't talk a lot of shite.
Well, we're going for a bit of a different tact. We're going to talk about the Livingston game upcoming and how confident the good people get back are, because they are. There is a good feeling about the club, but once again, after beating St Mirren, and that's our most away wins this season since 1992, by the way.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to say that in the notes. Fantastic.
Everything is going well. So, first one says, we're due a game where we absolutely pump the opposition, going for three or five goals for Hearts. Unrealistic, but I think we'll see a performance we never thought we would see this season on Saturday. Another one says, I wonder what Shank's plan is. Saving him for the semi? Possibly. We should be able to get by Levy at Tiny with Tagawa and Fargas starting up front. It's all about Hampden now. Someone says, we'll take any win. We'll take any win. But to be quite honest, we should really be hammering them. They are already down and are just playing for pride now. If we show up and really stay focused and take our chances, it could be five or six at least. Hope we can win by at least three goals, though, as we haven't done that this season. Go out and do it, Hearts. That's quite a stat. We haven't won this season by at least three goals. Hi.
Well,
I'd love to see us hit three or four and set ourselves up for the semi. Injury free. 60 minutes for the Hoff, Benny and Shanks again to help them be at their best for Hampden. Penrice to get man of the match, though. Way. I think Gordon should play to give him match practice before the semi final.
Not a bad shout, by the way.
Aye. Wee Barry Mackay back to work his magic. 2-0 Hearts at least, maybe even three. Another one says, I'm tired of reading the pish that Gordon shouldn't play until third mathematically wrapped up, as if playing him instead of Xander somehow weakens the team. It's laughable. Third is done and dusted anyway. Of course, it's possible that Xander Clark will play the semi. We're all assuming Craig Gordon is the cupkeeper, but
there's
don't
no
think
way
Naismith has ever stated that.
There's no way Clark comes in, surely, eh?
You never know. Another one replied to that. He says, a lot will depend on whether Stephen Naismith thinks third is now in the bag. If he does, then it might be time to give Craig Gordon a start, as well as Tagawa and Oda in place of Forrest and Vargas. I'm not sure that he will start Gordon, mostly because he already has him down to start in the semi. And if Gordon has a poor game, it puts Naismith in a very difficult position. I would like to see Tagawa and Oda start up front with Shanks if he is fit, though. So very confident, and I guess it's quite a good point about Gordon.
It is, aye. That's interesting. That I like it.
I take it you both are playing Gordon in the semi. Would you play him against Livy?
I think Xander Clark plays the semi. I don't think he changes the keeper.
But Gordon's played all the cup games, buddy.
Ooh.
Well, not all the cup games so far. We've not got to the final yet.
All the cup games we have played. So what's Gordon's played against? Martin,
Spartans.
Spartans and Airdrie.
Good for him.
Has to, like, he 100% plays the semi. And I was sold there, Hammy, on playing him to get him a wee bit sharp against Livingston, but then that was such a good point. What if he has a bad game? All it takes is one mistake, and then it's, oh, should you really be starting him in the semi?
Aye, I know.
What do you do?
Like you say, I do think third's completely wrapped up now. And if he is a cup keeper, which the season would lead you to believe he is, then he should be playing in the semi. Would I play him on Sunday? Yes, I'd play him. But I would have played him already. But I think going in cold without at least 90 minutes in a semi-final against Rangers is asking for trouble, even if I've got a keeper as good as Gordon. I'd play him. I'd just get him playing for the rest of the season now. Let's say third's done, so.
But then you're thinking, oh, that's Shannon Clark going into the Scotland camp in the summer.
Listen, Clark's not going to be playing for Scotland unless Angus Gunn sort of breaks a leg or something. And even then, there's no other choice. So it would be Clark playing, whether he plays the rest of the season.
Gordon would end up playing for Scotland.
That would be quite funny.
All to be Stephen Naismith, eh?
I know. It is a tough one, though, because Clark doesn't deserve to be dropped. But if he's the cup goalkeeper, he's the cup goalkeeper. Eh? It would be just as harsh on Craig Gordon. Mm-hmm. But there's only one of them can play, so it's a big decision. I'm fucking glad I'm not making it.
No. You think next season, it's probably just the same arrangement next season, but Gordon also gets the League Cup games, eh?
I think so, yeah. Like I say, as much as I would want Gordon to be playing, Xander Clark's done nothing to warrant getting dropped. So,
yeah, I think Gordon's basically just got three more bites at the cherry. It's not a cherry. Three more bites at the apple of winning a cup before he retires. Basically, the Scottish Cup next year or the League Cup next year. Eh? It's,
yeah. I really hope we do it for him. He deserves it for. Being at Hearts.
Aye, for sure. There's not much point looking ahead to Livy at Tynecastle because we all know how it's going to go. They're terrible, but they'll defend as well as they can. And it could be a really bad game of football.
Not looking forward to this one. I do think we'll win it and we'll win it easily, but I can't help scraping the feeling away that we're going to scrape through this one. Like 1-0 or something. Just being a proper pitiful game. I did actually have a look because Cameron didn't send me any buy or sell details, but I put together four questions if you want them. So I've got some stats for you.
Harry. I was here's me dragging out the podcast thinking we don't have a buy or sell. Buy over to you then for buy or sell.
So obviously he's on his jollies and the red garter getting absolutely smashed with the Jaeger machine. So he's not sent me last week's one and I didn't listen, so I've not got last week's scores, but he'll update you. But I do have four questions for you about this game. So,
well, I can tell you who definitely got 4 points apiece, and that's Instagram and Twitter, because while I was sitting watching the game, I went, oh, you fucker.
Oh, well. Well, I think they weren't doing too well, so they probably need that wee boost going at the end of the season. So well done, Instagram and Twitter. Right, first one for this Saturday, over 2.5 Hearts goals. Now, the last four games, the most goals Hearts have scored is two goals. And that was in January when we won 2-1. The one before that was 1-0. And the game before that was 0-0, and the one before that was 1-1. So these games are notoriously shite. So Hearts score over 2.5 goals.
I will sell it.
Bye.
I'm also going to sell it because I've talked it down enough.
Aye.
I do think it'll just be a easy game. We'll not want any injuries. We'll just
go through off the gas, some rotation.
Aye. On that vein, though, Hearts to have a clean sheet You know, we're just talking about goalkeepers. So I'm not going to ask you which goalkeeper. I'm just going to say a clean sheet. We've only had one clean sheet in the last six games, which is a bit of an anomaly this season. We've done well with clean sheets, and that one clean sheet also came against Celtics, which is weird as fuck. So
that's crazy.
I'm going to buy the clean sheets one because Craig Gordon's going to be in goals.
I buy.
I'll buy it. Fuck it.
Good, good, good. Second last one. Over 4.5 yellow cards.
So
now that's it's only happened in two of the last seven games against Livy, but they are getting relegated. They might just go out for bodies.
I'll buy it. I feel like it could be a Livy bastard game. Yeah.
I'm also going to buy it because fuck it, why not?
Sell.
Paddy selling. It could just be a no yellow cards, nothing happened game.
Can we relegate Livy this weekend?
No, I did check. Oh. Sadly, we can't. We would just be short of it.
That would have been fantastic.
I don't want to drive it at Tynecastle with daughter's keyboard.
Middle of the pitch, spotlight.
Sadly, they are sort of 9 points away from Ross County. So if Ross County lose, it would still be 9. There we go to 12. So I guess mathematically they might be, but it would be the next game before it's official relegated. And the last one, I couldn't think of any other stats, so I've just put it down to, well, David Martindale mentioned Hearts having a bigger budget at least three times after the game.
Bye. Hammond, you have to chuck in who starts, surely, out of Gordon Clark.
You know what, I'll do that. Instead of the David Martindale one, that is a good, because that was just a thinking on my feet one, yeah. Gordon or right, so we'll do Xander Clark to keep his place in the starting 11. Buy or sell?
Buy.
I am going to buy it.
I am selling it.
Yeah, it would be really cool if Naismith does it, but can't see it.
So Xander to keep his place. Yeah, I'm actually. That's probably the most exciting thing about the game coming up. It's going to see who's in starting 11. Right. Especially in goals, and I guess with Shankland and things as well, to see whether he does maybe rest them, maybe give them half hour or aye. Mm-hmm. But I say that'll be the most exciting thing about it.
Yeah. Happy days. Well, thank you for that, Hammond. Unexpected by ourselves. and thank you, Paddy. Play along with Buy or Sell on Instagram and X. We are at Hearts_podcast. And I join us next week as we look back at our 0-0 draw with Livingston, no bookings, Xander Clark and goals. And then look ahead to the big one, the only game that actually means anything, the Cup semi-final against the Glasgow Rangers. So, aye. Until next time. I don't know. Keep washing your hands for the Hearts and that. We'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.